Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, hi everybody, hope you've had a good photographic week. And in case you wondered from last week, which was live from our kitchen where I was developing some film, I'll put a couple of the photos in the show notes for podcast 170 for the 18th of December 2011, and I'll put a link to the rest of them because they came out okay. I was shooting them from the hip, and with the Trip 35, it just has a zone focusing, so you just sort of set the focus ring to distance, and then obviously the camera was swinging around in my hand as well, so. They're a little bit blurred, but they're fairly interesting. They're not sharp by any means. Obviously, the film is knackered anyway. It's all fogged and scratched. But there's a couple of them I like, and I'll put them in the show notes over on robnonphoto.com. And speaking of Olympus Trip 35s, I've been shooting some of that Ilford film that they kindly sent me last week, or the week before. Can't remember, was it last week? The XP2 400. Which is the black and white film that you can develop in colour chemistry. So normally with black and white film, you have to develop it at home or go to a special lab. You can't run it through the machines at like your local Asda or Walmart or what you'd have in the States or in different countries. But with XP2 Super, you can. You just give it to them and they'll process it and it'll come out black and white, which is cool. And it kind of, it's a nice pairing, I think, a Trip 35 with a C41, isn't it, black and white film, because, you know, it's all about ease of use and quick, you know, mesno batteries, that sort of stuff. That's cool. I have been shooting digital, of course, this week as well, and I went out and, I stayed in. I've been working really hard this week, as ever, over at Machine Mart. It's been a long week, 6-day week. And yesterday, we sell stoves, wood-burning stoves, and we had a big order for some stainless steel flue for a customer. But unfortunately, one bit didn't come in, and he needed it ASAP, so I actually had a hire car because I had to go and cover at our store in Southampton. So I ended up driving up to Swindon and back in the morning to get this one bit for this chap. I was a bit tired yesterday, but I'm feeling a little bit better now. But what I did, was it last night? I think it was last night. Yeah, I got my 350D out, got my tripod out, and did a little photo safari in our front room, or lounge, as Suzanne would like me to call it, and took some photographs of the Christmas stuff. So again, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see those photos, or go to Flickr and look at my photo stream, and you'll see them. And it was all about just trying to zoom in and pick out elements of the Christmas things and a few other fixtures and fittings around the room as well, just to bring out some Christmas cheer, I guess, and just playing around as well. It's always good to, sometimes I feel when I haven't picked up a camera for a while, especially my DSLR, you feel a bit rusty, you know, and you feel a bit rusty with a tripod and things. I think to do little exercises like that where you're going down and doing something, where you're flipping the buttons and turning the knobs, it just keeps you in touch, so when you do go out, you know, you're not fumbling. I'm trying to figure out how to do things, especially if you're shooting at night. The other things I was doing, because I was shooting indoors, and most of the lights are tungsten filament bulbs still. There's a few energy saving bulbs in the lounge, but not many. I was using a tungsten white balance. I did have to do a little bit of adjustment to the colour temperature in post-processing. And I was using shutter's leg because for some reason, my little Canon remote for my 350D has stopped working. I don't know, it probably needs a new battery. But it's a bit long in the tooth now, so it's probably had it, so I'll have to get another one. And mirror lock-up as well, to steady the camera. And for the shots of the Christmas tree, where it's all kind of star effects, I used tight aperture, f22. Whenever you use f22 or a tight aperture, such as that, depending on your lens, you always get those star effects on pinpoint lights, which is quite nice. And then I edited the pictures in the new version of Picasa 3. If you've been over to robnonphoto.com, you know I did a review of Picasa 3 last week, and as soon as I published the review, they went and updated it, didn't they? And they've added a whole new range of presets and filters, which are brilliant because it's things like Holger effect, Lomo effect, vignette effect, soft focus effects, all sorts of things. So if you haven't tried it yet, download Picasa 3. Go, just do a Google search for Picasa. It really, for a free piece of software, it is great. Really, really, really good. Very, very impressed. I've also done a post this week about what I consider to be some of my best photos of 2011. I can only come up with 9, and I guess that kind of reflects the fact that it was quite, well, I took a lot less photographs this year than I did last year, and I think that probably is a reflection of the amount of hours I've been putting in at work. It's an interesting selection of photos, mostly black and white. There's quite a lot of film in there. 2011 has been my year of film, and self-developed film. But I think this year I've been playing around with formats. What have I done this year? I've obviously the digital in SLRs and compacts. 35mm colour, 35mm black and white. Learned how to develop black and white film at home. Obviously working for Jessops as well, I was doing all the developing there, wasn't I, of colour, using the big machines. I've done medium format with the Amir C33, which is nice. Polaroid integral, so with things like some of the expired film that I've discovered in some of the Polaroid cameras I've had. Fujifilm Instax Wide, Fujifilm Instax Mini, and the Peel Apart film as well. So I felt that although I might not have produced that many consistent bodies of work this year, I've played around with a lot of different aspects of photography, and come to the kind of conclusion that I enjoy doing that as well. A big part of why I enjoy doing the podcast, writing the website, and going out and taking photographs isn't just the final image, it's also all the tactile stuff that goes into that. And I guess with some of the film cameras, they're a lot more tactile, they're a lot more engineered, there's a lot more moving bits and things that clunk and click and you can twist and play with there, where the digital's is obviously hidden inside in the microelectronics. So that's been good. I set myself a few goals for 2011 as for completing projects, and I haven't really done that many. So I think 2012 will be the time it's difficult, isn't it? Because you don't want to set yourself up to fail in terms of say, right, I'm going to do this, because this is a hobby for me and I do what I enjoy. And if I'm not like inspired to go out and do something, then I'm less likely to do it. However, sometimes you do need projects and you do need targets to make you go out and do stuff when maybe you'd sit inside watching the television. But I might be doing it in approaching it from a different angle, let us say, rather than having a project around a theme, rather having projects around a place. Because one of the things I enjoy doing is a little photo walk, you know, going to a place, taking lots of photographs and processing them and moving on. And that's something I think I can do quite successfully. And then if things should arise from that process, then so be it. That's my kind of style. That's my way of doing things. However, our main subject tonight is a bargain I bought from the car boot this morning. I've become a lot more picky about what I'm looking for at the car boot sales. Specifically now, you know, I've got enough film, 35mm film SLRs. I've got the Mamiya C33, so I've got the medium format. I've got Polaroid instant cameras. I've got the Polaroid Colourpack 2 camera, which is for the Fujifilm Peel Apart film, which incidentally I'm going to be working on this week to see if I can fix it, because all the photos are coming out blurred, colour photos. And what I'm really after now is working trip 35s. So I know Dan Domi from the Film Photography Project wants one, and it's always good to have spare trips. I've got two currently that are working, but one of them's got a lens that feels like it's about to fall off, so I've got another one that seems okay. Olympus Stylus Epics, or Mew 2s, the f/2.8 35mm, because they are brilliant little cameras, fantastic. But the cameras I'm looking for, still camera wise, are the Instax Mini. I want an Instax Wide, and obviously if I was to come across a Hasselblad or something like that, then I'd definitely be interested. But I've never ever seen any. People are switched on now. Everybody knows about eBay. Everybody knows how to check the prices of things on eBay. So the chances of finding bargains like that Mamiya C33, which I got for a tenner, are very very low indeed. But they're the sort of things. I'm not. For example, today there was a stall where a chap had a couple of old Praktika 35mm SLRs, and he probably only wanted a 5 or a 10 for them each, but I've already got a couple of those knocking around in a drawer, and I don't think I've ever put any film through them. He even had a Canon EOS 600, I think, one of the old film cameras that had a 35 to 80mm lens, and he only wanted a 10 for that as well, which is really cheap for an autofocus lens. But I thought, what is the next lens I want for my camera? Do I really need a 35 to 80? Yeah, I could buy it and sell it on eBay, but the next lens I'm looking out for my Canons or my 350 would be the 50 1.8, I think, is the one I want next, because the 18 to 55 is nice and sharp. It's a nice walk around lens, really wide. I've been quite impressed with that wide angle adapter I've been using, and the 55 to 250 is a nice telephoto lens with image stabilization. So the next step up, I think, is the 51.8, or if I win the lottery, the 51.4. And flashes, I think, is the other thing I'm looking out for. A lot of the car boots are now, just flashes that work. But so many cameras, even there'll be a camera bag with a nice SLR in it, and you'll pop open the flash and they've left the batteries in and they're all corroded away. And the reason why I want flashes is to create a off-camera flash system. So I'll buy some cheap radio triggers from eBay, I'd really like to have three flashes, I think. One for a main light, one for a hair light or a back light, and then maybe the third light for maybe lighting the background or creating some balance in the main light. So there we go. So I'm not buying all the junk, junk in inverted commas, that I used to. But one of the other things that whet my appetite, you remember from a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about I'd found a Kodak automatic cine turret camera, which I saw, and because the lady selling it, I think it was £3 or £4, I snapped up straight away. Done a little bit more research on it, and it was an 8mm camera. An 8mm film is still around, and it's called standard 8mm. So the way that it works in that camera is that you put the spool of film into it, and you run it through once, and then you flip it over and run it through again. And then when you get it developed, we split the film down the middle and connect it together. So you end up with one long spool. And the reason why they did that was because it was better. It enabled people to get more time and more film out of the same amount of celluloid, if you like, which made it cheaper. But the standard 8mm isn't as common as Super 8, which superseded 8mm. And guess what I picked up today? There we go. Can you hear that? That is the sound of a Mint Minolta XL401 Super 8 camera. So anyway, this morning, very, very, very cold, went down to Bridgemary, which is our normal car boot sale, at about 7 o'clock in the morning, still dark. Not that many people there. Excuse me while I take a drink. Nothing really on offer. It was like, but luckily I'm off today, the Sunday, and off tomorrow as well. So I said to them, why don't we go up to Burslem, which is the big car boot on the way to Southampton? I haven't been there that much that recently, because I've been working a lot of Sundays, and I can't fit in going to the Bridgemary and Burslem. I can't get back for work on time. So we went down there. There's a lot more people there, not as many as there are there in the summer, but a reasonable amount of traders and car booters. And probably on about the second stall, I saw this Minolta. And quite a few of the traders at Burslem, they'll turn up in transits, which are sort of big vans, and they just have boxes and boxes of junk, which they just put out and pour out on the floor, and it's like £50 a pound each. And this was one such stall. But what struck me straight away as soon as I saw this camera was how clean it was. The Minolta XL401 was manufactured in the late 70s, early 80s. And so this camera, let's say it was made in 1980, so it's 30 years old, and it looks like it came out of the box yesterday. No box, it was just loose as well. The lens is clean, and I thought, ah, this looks like a Super 8 camera to me. And I managed to pop it open to have a look at the, and I could see that the film said Super 8 on it, and it was a cartridge, so I thought it was cool. And also, when I popped open the compartment for the film, I could see it took two AA batteries. And that's quite important, really, because a lot of the earlier Super 8 cameras have two different power supplies, a couple of AAs or similar to run the motor, and then they also have a separate button cell battery that runs the light meter. And those button cell batteries, as you know, if you've got an old film camera, can be difficult to get hold of, if you can at all. And often the equivalents might be the wrong voltage, which means that the light meter might not work correctly, etc., etc. And the Minolta XL401 apparently, well, I know now because I've tested it all, uses AAs for both, which is really, really cool. So if you're looking out for Super 8 cameras or finding them, you know, just double check that the better ones to get are the ones that just use AAs rather than a separate button cell. So why Super 8? Well, Super 8 superseded 8mm, and it's much more convenient because it's in a cartridge format, so there's no mucking around trying to spool film and load it through the gate and all that malarkey. The image is bigger on the, although the film is the same size as 8mm, the image is bigger and the sprocket holes are different, so you get better quality that way. So everything's a lot easier to use, and obviously it's good for me because Super 8 film is easier to get hold of in the UK and all over the world as well. You can buy a roll, I think the 50-foot rolls of Super 8 film from somewhere like 7 Days Shop for about £15 or less. For colour or black and white. I'm not sure about processing yet, but I know from my research about the 8mm film that the Super 8 was significantly cheaper. You know, and as for the question, well, why bother? Well, you know, why do we shoot film anyway? These cameras are silent. There's no sound. You can buy Super 8 cameras that have a sound facility, but unfortunately you can't get the film anymore with the magnetic strip down the side, so there's no advantage to having that sort of camera. Saying that, though, the Super 8 cameras with filming are compatible with the cartridges that don't have sound on. And I guess it's something I just fancy giving a go to. You know, there's so much, how can I put it, there's so much retro stuff around, isn't it? If you think about all the apps on the iPhones and the Android phones, and where you edit your photos to make them look old and you make them look vintage, and there's all this argument, and I know I've talked about it in the past on the podcast and on the blog about what is there any difference between taking a photograph in an old camera to taking a photograph with a new camera and then making it look old? You know, what's the difference in terms of the validity of that photograph? And I don't know. It's open to interpretation, isn't it? It's how you feel about your photograph. I know with my digital images, I often like to make them a lot dirtier. I like to increase contrast. I like to add vignettes and stuff like that. But then I also like the film stuff. So it's something I like to play around with. I'm not saying one way is better than the other. You know, digital is brilliant. Film's different. Brilliant as well. They're both different. But I just fancy having a go at do it. Because, you know, I'm used to doing video from my Fujifilm S5700, which is nice and clean and beautiful, and we have high-def video cameras, don't we? Now we have high-def video cameras on our phone. You know, I use my phone to record loads of video of the grandkids and the kids and things like that, and it's great, it's lovely, it's clean. But there's something to be said from old film, isn't there? And so, yeah, I want to give Super 8 a go. It's definitely a project for 2012 to create a short Super 8 film, probably edited in camera, which means that, you know, all you do is you think about, right, well, where am I going to take these photographs? Where are we going to take this film? and you shoot a scene. Maybe it'll be something like around Gosport, so I'll show you the sights and sound of Gosport, or Oliver on his BMX, or something like that. But you shoot the things in order where you want them to appear. And then probably what I'm trying to do is I put an advert on Freecycle, which is a they're all over the world, Freecycle, where you can advertise stuff for people to get for free or you want for free. And I've said, look, if anybody's got any 8mm or super 8mm projectors or accessories, please get in contact. So hopefully I can get a projector for free or cheap. And then assuming I've got a projector, I can always have a go at doing simple film to video transfer by projecting the film onto, I've actually got a white projection screen upstairs in the loft, and then videoing that with one of our digital video cameras. Or I could obviously get it done properly with the Cine. But the idea is to keep it cheap, but just to see how that goes. So back to the Minolta XL4 401. Why am I so chuffed that I've actually got this? Well, let's have a look at it. It's a plastic body camera, but it feels nice and chunky. Let's have a look on the side. It has a, oops, just pop the lens cap off. It's a fixed lens, and it's got a nice rubber lens head. And the lens is a Rockawe macro lens, and it's a zoom lens going from 8.5 to 34 millimeters, which I think is about a 6x zoom. But its maximum aperture is f/1.2. How good is that? It's got a zoom, and again, the difference with these Super 8 cameras is you look through an eyepiece, which is looking through the lens, and then you pull the trigger. And what you can do with the XL401, you focus manually, and you can zoom manually as well. But while you're shooting, you can zoom in and out with a power zoom, and the buttons are on top of the camera, so that gives you a nice smooth zoom that way. It's got a fold-out hand grip at the bottom. It's got connectors for remote operation and flash. More about that in a minute. And on the functions, we've got on, off, battery check. You turn that, and a little green light comes on if your battery's got enough power. And backlight. And what that does is, it's a rather simple exposure compensation. So if you put backlight on, it means, say you're taking the picture to doing a movie of someone, and they're standing in front of a bright sky, or they've got some bright lights around them. Obviously, that would probably fool the camera into making them too dark. And by doing backlight, you can overexpose the photo, the image, in effect, and get a correct exposure on your subject. Speaking of exposure, the light meter's on the other side, and you've got automatic through the lens exposure control, and you've got manual, so you can flick the little switch down. And then you can just move the lever up and down to control your aperture. Now, it took me a little bit to get my head around the idea of how film cameras work, and I'm no expert. And I'm forgive me if I get this wrong, but I think it kind of works a little bit like this. The camera itself has a fixed shutter speed, right? I'm probably going to get this wrong straight away. So it has a fixed frame rate, of course, and I think in the Super 8s it's 18 frames a second, either 16 or 18 frames a second. I think it's 18 frames a second. And the shutter speed is fixed. Okay, I don't know what it is. I can't think of, but it's fixed. It doesn't change. Because the shutter isn't like a camera shutter that opens and closes like an iris, or like a curtain sweeping backwards and forwards like an SLR. It's like a disc with a hole, imagine a disc, imagine a circle, a disc, with a pizza slice cut out of it. Right? I think this is how they work. And that is spinning around. And that's your shutter. Okay? So it's spinning around, and the film's on one side of it, so that sort of cut out bit is going in front of the film as it goes over, so that gives you your exposure. And so the way you adjust your exposure is through adjusting the aperture. So they're in fact shutter priority cameras, if you like, because the shutter speed is fixed, so the camera is automatically, depending on the light coming through the lens, adjusting the aperture. But you can also do that manually. I've probably got all that wrong, but to give you an idea of how it works. What's really interesting about this camera as well is not only does it have normal running, like that, it also has a self-timer, so you can clunk it on self-timer, and after about 10 seconds, it will start shooting for about 10 seconds. But it also has single frame advance. And if you could imagine, if you wanted to make a stop motion picture, that would be quite cool, wouldn't it? But it's also got an intervalometer, which enables you to speed up time. So if I just turn, so if this is normal running, okay? Yeah, and then if I put the intervalometer on, you'll hear it. And you can vary this time as well. Yeah, so it's taking, doing one frame at a time, and then you can slow that down. So imagine you wanted to, you could do pictures of clouds zooming past, or a sunset happening really fast, or people are running around in a city scene really, really, really quickly. And I'm pretty sure from my research that an intervalometer is quite an advanced thing to have on a Super 8 camera. So I'm well chuffed that the XL401 has got that. It has a little window that tells you how much of your spool you used. Let me just turn it off so I don't flatten the battery, although I'll put rechargeable one on the side. It's got a nice bright viewfinder that's got a diopter on, so you can adjust it for your eyesight. It has a split prism for aiding in focusing. And I'm really looking forward to getting a cartridge of Super 8 film, probably colour, and putting it through, getting it converted, and then obviously I will share those results with everybody with a YouTube video and a review of the camera itself. Phew, so there we go. So next time you're out and about at the thrift shops or charity shops or car boot sales, yard sales, etc., keep a lookout for a Super 8 camera. You know, we're all into photography. And I know there's all this thing about with digital SLRs and video and all this sort of stuff. But to do all that, you know, you have a real powerful computer, haven't you? And it's all a little bit complicated. And we all love shooting the odd roll of film. So why don't we have a go at shooting the odd roll of Super 8? Just an idea. Right, so there we go. Thanks to everybody for taking part in the photo assignment over on Flickr, the abstract macro assignment. Lots of people are putting some great images in there. Look really cool. If you haven't already, we've still got plenty of time. Get your camera, but whether it be your compact, put it on the macro function, get close, and try and fool us with what you're taking pictures of. And stick them on the free Flickr photo group. I'm not quite sure if there'll be a show next week, because in 7 days' time it's Christmas Day. So if not, Merry Christmas to everybody and a Happy New Year. I hope you all get what you want. A new 5D Mark II wouldn't go down on this. But obviously, for me, it's all about the kids and seeing their faces light up when they open up their presents in the morning. Thanks everybody for taking part in the Flickr group. Thanks everybody for putting the comments on robinandphoto.com. I really appreciate that. Thanks everybody for putting the reviews on iTunes as well. I often don't mention that, but you know, if you like the podcast, or even if you don't like it and you subscribe via iTunes, go to the iTunes store, do a search for SEL Photography Podcast or SEL Podcast, and you'll be able to give us some stars and write a review. The better reviews we get, the higher we go up, and the more listeners we have, which makes for a bigger and more vibrant community, which we all want. And it just remains for me to say thanks everybody for downloading and listening to the podcast, and hopefully pretty soon I'll be seeing you on Flickr.